can change the heart of man. You and only you can change the heart of man. And so, Almighty God, as we just come to you today, I ask you, Father, that you would remove me, Lord Jesus. Let me disappear. And Father, that it would just be your spirit, just be your truth. Father, no man can stand before you, but that you allow it. So Jesus, right now, I just ask you to send your word forth, Father. Allow me to honor you in all that I say. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, here it is. I put it down here. Going to have to go with me here as my eyes are getting older. I don't know how that happened. I think the rest of me got older and then my eyes followed. We talked a little bit about this at Men's on Friday. And I wanted to just toss this challenge out. This is Amy Carmichael. She was a turn of the century. What's that? Woodpecker? Okay. and she was a missionary at a time when women were not really allowed to be missionaries, and she did an amazing job. But this is very, very telling of who she was. Her and her associates practiced John 15:7, trusting God to guide them by the word and provide for their needs one day at a time. And this is part of their prayer principles. This is a woman who, if someone said, well, I want to support this part of your work, but not that part, she said, you should find another ministry to give your money to. Go ahead. And she, when people said, well, we don't like that part of the ministry, she had a ministry to temple prostitutes in India, where she pulled the young girls out. And it caused a lot of frustration, anger. And she said, this is what God called me to do, and so I'm going to trust him. Now, here's her principles for prayer. And I want you to think about your own prayer life. And if you instituted these three simple prayer principles, what it would change in your prayer. So first, you might want to write these down. As a matter of fact, I suggest you write these down. We don't need to explain to our Father things that are known to him. We don't need to explain to our Father things that are known to him. We don't need to explain to our Father things that are known to him. Number two, we don't need to press him as if we had to deal with an unwilling God. We don't need to press him as if we had to deal with an unwilling God. And three, we don't need to suggest to him what to do, for he himself knows what to do. I'm going to say if these three, did you get number three? We don't need to suggest to him what to do, for he himself knows what to do. If we would institute these three simple principles into our prayer, you know what? We'd be a lot quieter when sitting before the Lord. How many times, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard in prayer groups and those things, Lord, let me explain to you my situation and how I want you to move in my situation and, by the way, what you need to do. So, I think if we just stop and actually look at those simple things, here's what it's going to cause. You're going to come before the Lord and you're going to go, your servant hears and obeys, Lord. I mean, really, that's the bottom line of what he's looking for from us. How often we come to him with, my name is Jimmy and what can you give me? I got my list of blah, 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 blah. And I'm not just talking about praying for our friends, our family, situations, those things. You know, obviously, we're called to intercede in those areas. But we don't need to tell him what to do. And we don't need to tell him how to do it. And when we don't see the answer that we are looking for, that we believe he should be instituting, can we still be thankful? See, because I don't know about you, but occasionally things that I pray for, situations that I pray for and that I am in the midst of, don't turn out exactly like I wanted. So I don't know if that happens to any of you guys or if that's just me, but when we can realize that he is sovereign, and sovereign is a big word that means he is completely in control. He has complete power and authority, and we don't need to tell him what to do or how to do it. So that was just a quick, just a thought off the top of my head to help you. Yes, ma'am. We don't need to explain to our Father things that are known to him. Number two, we don't need to press him as if we had to deal with an unwilling God. Remember, he desires to give us the desires of our heart. Amen. Amen? That's what his word says. And he is true to his word. So today we're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter 6. You won't be flipping around. God bless you. You'll just be able to find the book of Judges. So, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Book of Judges, chapter 6. Now, here's some interesting things. I cannot tell you how many times I remember Andy as a little boy coming from Sunday school saying, if I hear about Noah and the ark, Daniel and the lion's den, or Gideon's army one more time, I'm going to throw up. So, and I don't know about you, I know that in Sunday school, I heard the story of Gideon and his army. Now, here's the funny thing. I always heard it this way. Gideon was hiding in a wine press. That's not true. See, people use this, and I honestly think I've said the same thing. And in just studying this, Gideon was not hiding in a wine press. If we just look, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. He wasn't hiding in the winepress. He was hiding his grain in the winepress. He was working. He was surviving. Now, Israel had sinned. At the beginning of this, it starts with, back to verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
So the Lord delivered him into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." What was God's command there for them? Not to do what? Not to fear the gods of the Amorites. You see, because the fear drove them to begin to worship other gods. To begin to worship other gods, and they did evil in the sight. Now, what I just read here, does that remind anybody of your life, Eric, what you were just talking about? Man, they're everywhere. They come in, they devour like locusts, they steal my harvest, they take my blessings. They come in and their camels are without number. And if you know anything about camels, camels eat anything. They're like a giant goat. They're nasty. They are nasty creatures. However, if I was in the desert, I would want me a camel because they are very helpful. And so, Their camels are without number, which means they literally would just come and they would just graze and they would just destroy everything that Israel had planted, which is why Gideon was in the wine press. Now, a wine press, you know, I don't know about you, but you think of a wine press, you think of like a little vat and the guy's stomping the grapes in there. Well, typically what it was a rock enclosure that they had created, chiseled out, and they would put the grapes in and allow them to be mashed and allow the juice to come out. So it wasn't like they had built some vats that they were carrying up into the hills. This is a rock formation that they would chisel out and they would squash them in. And so he's hiding his grain. Because normally they would have a threshing floor. Now a threshing floor is wide open. If you know anything about agriculture, you've got to take the husk off of the wheat for the wheat to be of any value. And how you do this is by threshing it. They use rakes and like brooms to pound it down to break the husks off. And then they will winnow it. They'll throw it up in a basket and allow the wind to take it away. So where they're working in a wine press is not beneficial because it's probably not meant to be where the wind would carry it away. So they're working very hard. Anybody feel like that? Like you're working very hard and you're making very little progress, and every time you turn around, somebody is coming in and stealing your harvest. I'm telling you. And people that you love are being driven out. People that you love are being tortured also. Well, in this, God told them not to fear other gods, and they began to fear other gods, the gods of the Amorites. And so they began to serve Baal, a god that they had already defeated, if you look at the history. They became distracted, and they drew away their focus from God. It drew their focus from God, even though they knew the story that God had delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians, the most powerful nation in the world at that time. And God delivered us from that. But when the enemies of God were allowed to have their way, the people ceased fighting. They had done evil in the sight of God, and God had removed his hand from them and allowed Midian to come in. Have you ever felt like that? Sometimes we feel like that just because we make bad choices. Sometimes it's the hand of God removing it from us for a season to allow the winnowing, to allow the chaff to be blown away. And sometimes it's just us foolishly standing in the wrong spot. Amen? And so when the people, that they've been abused by the Midianites. They've been overrun. They've just been continually overrun and had everything taken from them. And they stopped fighting. You can see, they just said, okay, let's just get out of the valley, and we'll go up to the hills, and we'll hide in caves, and we'll become like the cave dwellers up there. We're just overwhelmed. Have you ever felt like that? I'm just going to go hide. I'm just going to go put my little cave up there, and I'm going to do an Elijah, and I'm just going to hide. Gideon was subsisting. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't a mighty man of valor. He's up there just trying to get his day-to-day bread. He's just trying to subsist and hold enough food for his family that he can actually accomplish the duties of life. They're not living, they're existing. Have you found yourself there? Just existing? Just existing. I'm no longer even trying to fight the enemy anymore. I'm just done. I just need to rest. I'm tired. See, the reason that people followed these other gods in the midst of this was a simple reason. They thought it would help. Have you ever been so desperate? You're willing to... Somebody says, hey, if you go put a piece of pineapple in front of that little statue, you'll get luck. You'll be blessed. Hold on to a rabbit foot. I remember this as a kid. Hold on to a rabbit foot. I remember exactly what my granddaddy said. What, a rabbit had four of them. He wasn't very lucky. I went, good point. I said, good point. He said, lucky for who? And so, see, but that's why people serve other gods. That's why people go, because they're looking for something that's going to make me feel. Now, how many of you know that if you go put a pineapple in front of a little statue of some pagan god, it's not a magic, all of a sudden your crops are going to be blessed, or you're going to have a child, or right? Now, stuff happens. I put a pineapple in there, and then it rained. Oh, look how magic that is. Yeah, and if you didn't put the pineapple there, it was going to rain too. Now, the mice are going to eat your pineapple, and you're wet. And so, again, as human beings, we're trying to grab on to something that makes us feel like we have gained some control. The C word, control, right? Because we want to be... Here's the absolute lack of control. God, you're in charge. Which is actually the ultimate control. But what we do is we want to feel like we've got our hands on it. And the reason that they needed something else was because they lost their first love. They heard. They grew up in a generation and a generation and a generation that had heard of the miracles of God and that had had those taught to them. And their parents and their grandparents were faithful to share that with them. But life began to get mundane. In the midst of this whole Boston thing, I was reading a comment by a young man who said, people who believe in some God are foolish. I believe that one could exist, but he's never manifested himself. Hello? Scripture says the fool says in his heart there is no God. This man said, I acknowledge that there may be a God, but he sure hasn't showed himself. This is where Gideon and the people were. This is where the children of Israel were. We've heard, and we believe that he is real, but where are the miracles of God? He says, where are the wonders of our fathers? He says in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Now, how many of you, the Lord is with you, O mighty woman of valor? Does that feel natural? Matt, O mighty man of valor, rise up. I just got to say, you know, I for a long time I thought Gideon was just a whiner. But you know what? Gideon was just like you and me. Somebody comes to you and says, Joseph Arjir, you mighty man of valor. You go, yeah. And the first time somebody punches you in your face, you go, ouch. The first time we get knocked down. The first time something doesn't go the way that we want, what happens? We go, God abandoned me. I made a decision. I thought God, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I thought God told me to do this. But look what happened. How many of you have said that? If you didn't raise your hand, it's only because you don't want to be pointed out. Come on. It's all right. I mean, this is a universal problem, and this is what happened. See, God, here's Gideon. You read about Gideon? You know who Gideon is? Do you know who Gideon is? Is he a king? A prince? Someone of high value? No. He even said, look, I'm from Manasseh, and Manasseh, we're like lowbrow. I mean, we're like below blue collar. We're and me, I'm the least in my dad's household. Even my dad says, really? Gideon? And so God looking for someone who will change. Here's Gideon. Gideon's hiding with everybody else. He's looking for somebody who will change, who will accept his mission, who will listen. Now I've heard so much smack talked about Gideon. But here's the question. How are you going to find it? How are you going to find your mission? I'm not a huge advocate of this book, but I love the title, The Purpose-Driven Life. Do you know why it sold hundreds of millions of copies? Because people want something. Look, you get people in Boston who, I swear, having been in Boston a bit, you can walk down the street on fire and people will not look at you. Seriously, they're like, and they'll just walk right by you. Did you see that flaming man? What flaming man? I didn't see him. And yet, when they have a common cause, a purpose, something greater than themselves, they stand in a stadium and raise their voices and lift the national anthem of this country up. Why? Because something larger than themselves grabbed a hold of them. Can something larger than you grab a hold of you? Because you see, what I see is a church in America that is not empowered. And here's why it's not empowered. Because we come to church going, empower me, feed me, baby bird, bop, 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 bop. I just feed me. And then we go out and go, I'm hungry again. Maybe I'll go to Monday night football. I'm hungry again. Maybe I'll go to Tuesday night bingo. I'm hungry again. Maybe I'll go out with my friends for ladies night. Hey, maybe I mean, This is what we do. And then by Sunday, we drag in and go, oh God, I'm so hungry. Feed me, feed me, feed me. But what do we do with what we've been fed? What Gideon was just smashing his little grain there, hoping to get enough to make a little loaf of unleavened bread. Right? Something has to change. Can I tell you, the first thing that changed for Gideon, first of all, he is confronted with an angel of the Lord in verse 12, verse 13. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I mean, okay, wait a minute. There's a couple of people that I got some serious respect for in the Bible. One of them is Abraham. One of them is Moses. Men who argue with God. Okay, God, so if you find 50 righteous men, would you save it? How about 30? How about 10? If you found one righteous man, would you save the city? That, to me, I'd be like, whatever you want to do, God. I'm like, but there, Moses, look, don't smite them all. I know they're obnoxious. I know they complain a lot. But this is your people whom you have chosen. So what we're looking for is, as a society, is the quick escape. I've said this. If I wrote a book, 10 spiritual principles to make you successful, I could probably sell 100 million copies. Now, if I put the same information in a book that said 10 sacrificial ways to open your heart to a God who cares, I bet I couldn't give it away at a garage sale. I bet Amazon wouldn't put it on. Am I right? Because, see, nobody wants to sacrifice. We want a quick message, a quick book, 10 quick hints on prayer. We want a quick video, a quick music. Oh, here, this song, boom, you're all of a sudden transported and life has changed. For how long? So then you're going to be one of those people who walks around with your little Walkman in so that you can have your little la, la, la. And you've got to understand, God is looking for something different from us. He is not looking for the external any longer. And we have become an external society. See, we want somebody else to raise our kids. We want somebody else to take care of our old people. Now, again, please, don't go like this. I don't. I'm talking as a society. Head Start, kindergarten programs, paid for preschools, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Can I tell you what Jesus said about that? You're supposed to be taking care of them. Trust me. I was talking to Beth about this last night. I went, look, I ain't preaching this to anybody else. I'm preaching this at me. I mean, this is not just a you. This is a us. This is a what God needs to do something. God needs to shake us up. What if the angel of the Lord said to you, Marissa Ann Brandt, thou chosen daughter of God, mighty in valor, rise up. I got to check with my mom. And that's no disrespect. Because we would, Joe, I want you to go as a missionary to Africa. Oh, I'm going to have to run that by my wife. Because that, I don't think she, at bugs, at hot, Africa, lions. But see, this is what, I mean, this is just the truth of where we are. And then the Lord turned to him. How would you like the Lord to turn to you? Now that's the truth. And see, so the Lord is here, and the Lord goes, yeah, look, I just did that, and you went, imagine. He says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. Wait. He didn't say, I want you to gather up some strength. I want you to grit yourself out. I want you to go pump some iron. I want you to get smarter. He said, go in this might of yours. That which you have this very moment. That is a present tense statement. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. What's the next sentence? Have I not sent you? I mean, wait a minute. Have I not sent you? If just the king of a country or the president of a country called Matt up and said, Matt, I want you to walk to the Canadian border and I want you to tell those people I said they better behave. You'd be like, all right. And you walk up there and you go, that guy who sent me, the king president guy, he said you better behave. And when you turn around, you see F-16s flying overhead. You see B-1 bombers. You see tanks and planes and soldiers. And you go, oh yeah. He said, you better behave or else. See those guys? They're with me. That's what we need to understand. That's what God is telling. Have I not sent you? So here's Gideon again. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. How many times have you made excuse to God? Oh, I'm not smart enough. I don't talk well in front of people. I don't know that person. I can't do it. Right? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Don't you shake your head at me. You know the truth. We've all made those excuses. But God said, I sent you. And if I send you, I will be with you. And if I am with you, who can be against you? And if I am with you, what power on earth do you need beside that? Moses said, Lord, I am slow of speech. And you've asked me to go talk to this really mighty king. And the people have said maybe Moses stuttered. Okay. Can I tell you, God knew that? God knew that Moses had a problem. And why did he call Moses? Here's why. Because Moses turned and saw a bush that burned and was not consumed and did what? He took action. He took action. He went over to it. He went. And the voice of the Lord said, take off your sandals, for the ground that you stand upon is holy. Now, why? Because Moses took action. I got a question for you. How many people walked by that bush before that? He just shepherds out there. Hey, that's kind of weird. Right? Look, here's Gideon. How many people did the angel of the Lord come to before Gideon? I don't know. I have no idea. But I got to tell you, here's what made Gideon special. He engaged in a dialogue with God. He took action. He said, then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign. Who wants a sign? Come on, when God asks you to, who wants a sign? Be honest. Would you not take one? Thank you. I think you would be foolish not to. Like, you go, okay, I got to go right or left. I'm choosing right. Bushes along the side of the right road, flame up. Yeah, now I know I'm in the will, right? See, this is, and so he says, do not depart from me, from here. I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. What was Gideon doing? It's not a trick question. It's okay. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Gideon was going to prepare a sacrifice. Now, that's a dirty word in our culture. Sacrifice. I only bought the 38-inch TV because the 50 was way too much. I only bought this car because that one was a little gaudy. I only had filet mignon because... Right? I mean, see, this is our idea of sacrifice. But we're talking about genuine sacrifice. Here's Gideon. He's pounding out some loaves. He's trying to make some food, keeping an eye out for the Midianites. And all of a sudden, he runs into the angel of the Lord, and he said, wait! I need to find out if this is really you, and I want to make sure. Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat. How many of you know that a young goat is very valuable to a farmer? Yes, because goats give milk. And later, when they're bigger, they give more meat. Baby goats, not so much. Sorry, just have to say. The meat he put in a basket, unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. Imagine how long it took to make a loaf of bread. And now I'm going to take it, I'm going to offer it to God. He didn't go to Safeway, pay $1.97, and get a loaf of bread. I mean, he pounded the grain, he ground it up, he put some water in it, he put some, and made the loaf of bread. And then he cooked it. And then it says, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out this broth. And he did so. Okay, wait. I'm just going to tell you something. In the days that this happened, when you made a sacrifice, if you made it at the temple priests had access to that sacrifice. That was their food. If you made a sacrifice unto the Lord as you were a shepherd out in the field, you got to partake of it, even though it was an offering to God. So take your bouillon, which is going to be very tasty to a hungry man, and pour it on the ground. Oh, yeah. Take that bread and that meat and put it over on a rock. A rock? Okay. Now, then he says, the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Dang, there went lunch. And the guy's gone too. See, look, this was a sacrifice. Gideon gave up something. He made an action and he gave up something. And then, I want you to get this. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Ding, 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 ding. Really? It took you this long? That's what I always used to think. I'm still probably being shocked, okay? But he says, so Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Most people who saw the angel of the Lord then got to meet the Lord. So it was like, that's why when angels are spoken of in Scripture, almost always the first thing they say is, fear not. Because they're not little tiny, warm, pudgy little cherubs. I mean, we're talking about warring angels of God. So here's Gideon going, oh, surely I have seen the angel of the Lord and now I must perish. Get this, verse 23. Then the Lord, not the angel of the Lord,
Then the Lord himself said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Look, Gideon made a sacrifice, and God himself spoke to Gideon. He was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was not a man of high stature. He's just a man. All he did was listen. Now look, Israel was always looking for a deliverer. Israel was always looking for a deliverer, a savior. Are you? Because some people, that's all they're looking for is a deliverer or a savior. I just want somebody to pull me out of my problems. I just want somebody to fix my issues. I want somebody to go fix that country's issues. I want just something else. But we have one. We have a deliverer. We have a savior. And you know what he did? He gave you all his power, all his dominion, all his authority. What will change you? It's not going to be this message. Because you hear this 2 hours out of 368 hours. What are you doing the other 364? That's what matters. What are you doing with what you have been fed? If this is, all right, so if today I'm going to give you 2 hours after service, go eat all you can. But you can't eat again until next Sunday. Really? But why is it that we spiritually do that? Why is it that we spiritually? There are people whose Bible, Billy Graham said, you can write damnation in the dust on the cover of your Bible. Because it's never opened, or it's the church opening. You hear the paper is still crinkly. Ooh, never been to that book before. We run from cause to cause, church to church, trying to attach to something that's happening. Here's a challenge for you. How many of you have heard, "Well, I just don't like the worship there"? Why do I go to that church? I love the worship. The band is just, oh yeah. I went to a church in Las Vegas. It was honestly like a rock concert. Lights and lasers and smoke. Dancing teenage girls. I went, really? Am I in church? But why? Because that's what we want. Something to make us feel good. I want you to ponder the great men and women of God. They didn't have iPods. They didn't have radios. Here was David. David made instruments. David took his sword and went, Jehovah, Jehovah, sorry. Jehovah, seriously. David made instruments. Sorry, my friend. We've got to have the sword. Okay, so, but what we look for is someone to put that into us. I've got to turn on my Hosanna. I've got to turn on my Third Day. I've got in my car. Oh, now I'm at peace. Here's a challenge. I honestly pray for this sometimes. I want an EMP. You know what an EMP is? Electromagnetic pulse. It comes with thermonuclear devices. It destroys everything that has an electrical circuit in it. I sometimes just wish, poof! Everything that makes noise, moves, has pictures, just ceased. It wouldn't have to be forever. But what would you do? Listen to that. I'll tell you what it does to people. It's peaceful for about 8 seconds. And then it's like, and pretty soon you're going to start singing Foreigner songs. And crud's going to be running around in your head. I challenge you. This is what happens. But in the quiet, when you actually have quiet, do something. Inquire of the Lord. Inquire. Ask him this. What do you have for me? What do you have for me? What is my purpose? See, we talked about these spiritual giftings. It's not science. It's not something that, yes, you're a 4 and you're a 5 and you're a 6. Here's what it does. It says, man, these things are kind of evidenced by the way you think. It doesn't mean you can't have other ones. And honestly, some of the spiritual giftings that I am really weak in, it's a really good thing that I have a God. This is not a joke. I took this test, and my third lowest score, one, was celibacy. Well, I'm married, duh. So if I didn't score very low on that, it would have been bad. And so the other was, I don't remember, music? Yeah, music. But the other, compassion and mercy. Now look, that doesn't mean that I don't have compassion, but I'm going to tell you what it means is, when you find compassion from me, it's not mine. It's not mine. Because that is not what I function in naturally. Okay. So, I want to ask something of you. Do me a favor. I'm not even going to say it. We talked about this in men's. I'm just going to tell you. Can I do that? I'm just going to tell you flat out. I want you to do this for the next 7 days. Don't turn on your TV. Don't turn on your radio. Don't turn on your iPod, iPad, cell phone, bejeweled, all those distractions. Now look, we live in the world, I understand that, and if you have to work, you have to work. Don't go to your boss and go, I can't turn on my computer, my pastor said so. Good, you're fired. Tell your pastor to pay you. Because you're going to get to live with me, and I'm just going to say, my house is a little crazy sometimes. So, well, if you want that. But look, where you have a choice, when you get up in the morning, don't turn on CNN. I promise if anything really spectacular happens, you're not going to change it even if you know. Don't turn on the radio on the way. Oh, but it's Christian music. It's Caleb. Blah, 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 which is what Caleb is, sorry. It's my own personal opinion. So, I had a sandwich today, Bill. What do you think about that? Blah, 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 blah. Whatever, you know? It's like, really? If you want music, let it come from your soul. If you want to sing unto the Lord, let it come from your soul. If you need information, here's a novel thought. How are you doing today? Excellent. If you want to know what's happening in somebody's life, if I want to find out what's happening in Jordan, don't go to your Facebook page to go creep on her. Call her up. Hi, Jordan. How are you? What are you doing today?
Don't tweet your location, hey, going to the bathroom at McDonald's. You think this is funny, but this is what our society has gotten to. And what happens is it steals from us our focus and our ability to listen to what God is trying to do. And so that's why there's nothing inside of us, and we're always trying to go find it somewhere. I'm going to go find it in a person. I'm going to go find it in a position. I'm going to go find it in power or possessions. That's where I'm going to gain my stuff. Wait a minute. We have a God who loves you enough that he filled you. He said, you now have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you have TV antennas on the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you have an iPad stuck in the hand of the temple master? Do you give the priest your iPhone? See, look, just lay it down. I mean, literally, just lay it down as much as you can. Again, it's foolish to say, look, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm on my cell phone, but here was my commitment. This morning, I did not watch the news. I did not turn on the TV. It was quiet. I'm going to tell you what, that, for me, that's something. I mean, that's something. And it's funny what you hear when you listen, when you're not distracting yourself, because that's what those things are. Why do you play Scrabble on your cell phone? Joe and I do that. So I'm just ratting us out. Why do we do that? Because we're bored, because we have a minute. And we want to take our mind off of, instead of going, Lord, what would you have me to do in the next minute and a half? What a novel thought. What a novel thought. Do you tell him what to do? Here's how you avoid that. So here's what I want you to do. For the next 7 days, till we get back together again, this is your food. I'm not talking about a fast of not eating. You do not stay this large and fast a lot. Actually, I used to fast all the time. It didn't matter. But I'm talking about a fast here. A fast here that will impact here. See, when you get bored, when you begin to go, and old David Lee Roth songs are going through your head, and stupid thoughts about what you did last month, and all that garbage starts running through your head, stop and go, wait a minute. Let me inquire of God. And how am I going to inquire of God? He left us a love letter that tells us what his desire and what his thoughts are for us and about us. When you get restless, take action. When you're sitting with the family, what do? I don't know, my iPad's hidden, I can't find it. The TV's off, what do? I was just novel thought. Hi, honey, how was your day? What's your favorite thing to do on a rainy day? Hey, what would you like? What's your favorite board game? Could we play a board game? How about if we take a walk in God's creation and talk about what we see, what we think, what we feel? American society would stop. If we could get America to do this for 7 days, do you know what would happen? I'm just going to tell you, first of all, we would save so much money because you're not sitting in front of a boob tube watching commercials making you hungry, wanting to go buy the next new thing, see the next new thing. You'd be out in your neighbor going, hey, I know you. You work right next to me. How long have you lived there? 10 years. Interesting. Right? you're going to find all of a sudden people everywhere. You're going to begin to see that you are changed. Because here's the deal. Everybody wants a savior. Everybody wants a deliverer. Everybody wants the ace. Everybody wants that ace, right? I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I want that guy. I want the best pastor. I want the best worship leader. I want the best this. That's what I want. What are you? You want the best, look in the mirror.
That's right.
Look in the mirror and say, wait a minute. I want to be the best me. I want to be the best me. I want to be all that God created me to be. I don't need somebody else to go make me something. God already created. God already gave me everything pertaining to life and godliness. I have it within me. I don't need to manufacture it. I don't need somebody to stir it up in me. You get people who go, well, let's five upbeat songs, and then you'll get everybody going, woo-hoo, and then I'll believe. And then when the music stops, what are you going to do? Then when you stop the music, all of a sudden you're empty and you have to go looking for something else. What happens if the music's in you? What happens if the prayer is in you? What happens if the passion is within you? Then like Gideon, look, Gideon even went against his father. Verse 26, build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in a proper arrangement and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood image of the wood image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Okay, but what? He did it. He didn't do it like, well, I'm a mighty man of valor and I'm going to even go against my father. He went, I'm scared, man. We might die. But I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take action. And then what happens? He raises a mighty army. People are going, man, hey, Gideon's got something on the inside of him. I don't know what it is, but he has gathered something and we're willing to follow him. And God said, you know, Gideon, I got to tell you, if you win this victory, they're going to say you're a great general. They're going to say that they won it. So how about if you send everybody who's afraid home? Okay, guys, whoever's afraid of going to battle, raise your hand and go home. Ooh, I'm gone, man. 20,000, poof. But God said, wait a minute, they're still not few enough for me to be glorified so that you'll know it was me that did this. So he gives them a test. If you lap like a dog, then you're one of mine. Everybody else got down on their knees. But if you just got down there like a dog and just started lapping the water up, 300 men against thousands. Why? Because an unknown man with a ragtag, bedraggled, been beaten down army of only 300 men. When they defeated the Midianites, it says they defeated them. I mean, they drove them. Those guys got so scared they killed themselves. You read it. He says, each man's sword was against his neighbor. He woke them up in the middle of the night and they were like, ah! And the next thing, they're all dead. And then Gideon's army chases them. Now, the people who hadn't fought, I'm just going to tell you, once you win a great victory, the people who hadn't fought came to Gideon afterwards and goes, hey, wait a minute. We wanted part of that battle. How come you didn't give us part of that battle? What's wrong with you? What, you think you're better than we are? We're better than you are.
How many times is that? You step out, and all of a sudden, people are like, oh, you think so highly of yourself. Ooh, Mr. Holiness. I don't know about you, but I've heard it. So what causes somebody to be like Gideon? To be like David? To be like Moses? To be like Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus? They did something. They weren't waiting for someone to do something for them. They did something. They sought after God. They were available. Our society is not available to God. You'd have to send out a tweet. Jesus Christ is looking for you today. You'd have to send out a Facebook message. The Lord would like you to pray. Andy and I were joking about this. There's a Pinterest or a... What's the image? The Instagram. There's an Instagram from Jesus for you. Really? Here's an Instagram from Jesus. I love you. I paid the absolute ultimate price so that you could be with me and that you could rend your heart for me, that you could give me yourself. I've given you absolutely everything else. You have no need of anything except me. So for 1 week, I want you to feed on his word. Well, feed on the world, like I said. If anything happens, you ain't going to be able to change it anyway. If North Korea launches nukes, what are you going to do? Stop! If something traumatic happens, all you're going to be is a spectator anyway. Do you know what? God doesn't need any more watchers. He needs doers. We got too many people watching going, oh, I wouldn't have done that. You see that quarterback? He threw that stupid pass. Oh, you see, I would never have made that mistake. You know what? We need to begin to make mistakes. Yes, I'm advocating you make mistakes. Do you know why? Because if you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything. But if you're at least making mistakes, at least it means you're moving, and then God can direct you. So in this time, if you're not a reader, don't beat yourself up. We have Bible on CD. We have the entire Bible on CD here that we offer to anybody. You can check books of it out. Put it in. Listen to it while you drive. Greatest thing I ever did, every day when I went to work and every day on the way home, I listened to the Bible on, cassette. It's a long time ago. But put it into you and see what changes. See what changes. All right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, it's not a message that's going to change people. It's not a motivation that's going to change people. It's a desire in their heart to be something more than they are today, to be what you have called them to be, Father. I ask you, Almighty God, to shake us, Lord God, that we would see what you have placed within us and the greatness that you have before us. Lord Jesus, I ask you to give courage to your children, Lord God, to give them the desire to sacrifice, to see that there may not be a miracle in the offering. As they sacrifice to you, Father, you will be miraculous to them. Now, Lord Jesus, keep us and guard us. Watch over us, each one. Give us hands to work for you and eyes to watch you. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. For prayer.